Yeah, I was just gonna just share a potential idea for the future. Like, I think it's really cool to donate to a cause that you really believe in, and sometimes it's to a person. Like, so, for example, like I know a guy named John Mwanja, I think his name, and he's over in Uganda, and he basically helps out an orphanage. But I see the stamps of what he purchased for them, so I know exactly where my money is going. But it'd be kind of cool, for example, like if there was an organization that made it a requirement that you, as an individual who wants to help out the cause of Christ, that you practice your muscle of giving to a cause that you believe in, let's say for a year, you know, like to show that, because once you do it for a year, now it's a habit now that you believe, you start believing the cause again, then later on you can level up and then you can donate to the bigger cause with a great presentation as number four, you know, that has a better plan for Christ, you know. But I think it's like people need baby steps, like, you know, in my opinion, and they need to like learn how to trust again. And it's easier when you trust the organization. And almost like I think we did it to ourselves in some way because we didn't ask enough questions when we were doing it. You know, so that's why I made it a point that if I'm going to go give some money to this person, that like I know where the receipts are, and that I know that these kids are being fed, these kids and whatever. And if we all did that for like a year or 2 years, whatever requirement we make, whatever, now it's like we're prepared to like, we've been doing this for a year now. Now I'm ready to do something else, you know. So anyway, still thought.
It's an interesting point too, because if organizations have all track of all their records or their bills and their receipts and everything exactly where the money is going, people would have more, well, build their trust once again towards something.
My background is accounting and finance, and I started studying all the NGOs. I quit giving to them all. I don't trust any of them.
Tell us why.
Because they use most of their money for administration, which is growing the organization. And I just lost faith in them all, and then you find out how corrupt so many of the large organizations are, and they're doing it for tax write-offs. They're not doing it for charity at all. So I find the fifth one the most challenging, because I have lost faith. There is nowhere that I would gladly give my money right now. Nowhere.
About Wounded Warriors, do you know, have any information on them? They sound like a good organization.
I don't think I've studied them specifically.
I think they have a pretty high percentage going to the cause, if I remember right, but I don't know exactly what it is.
And if anything is set up under a 501c3, I do not believe in that organizational structure to begin with. I think it's a corrupt organizational structure. So,
it's a church, isn't it?
What did you call these at the beginning? You said
NGOs.
What is that?
Non-government organization. And they're 501c3s. So you donate to them, you get a tax write-off.
Yeah.
And if they don't have that particular label, you can give to them.
Is that the same as a non-profit?
Yes.
Non-government?
It's not exactly the same, but it's close. There can be nonprofits that aren't 501c3s, but most of them are.
But to get a tax write-off, do they have to be 501c3?
Yeah. Say that again.
Yes.
To get a tax write-off, do they have to be 501c3?
They have to be something along that line.
Yeah.
There can be 508s, 501c3s.
Oh, okay.
There's different organizations, but they're all under the IRS code, and
yeah,
it's all corrupt.
Yeah.
And that means the person donating to them gets it that quick.
Yeah.
Not the person that has it.
Well, I was there with a group in California that for close to 40 years that we studied Dallas Bailey work, and every month they gave us it passed out a sheet of paper that showed what their expenses were and what their income was. And we donated to cover their expenses, but we knew exactly where the money was going.
And I bet they weren't a 501c3.
No, they weren't. They were just a bunch of people that met.
So, Ed, what you're saying is a little what Emmanuel's saying, and I'm tying it to what Susan said. So, because my ultimate last question pose this with, if we are not to repeat the mistakes of the past, what would you do different this time around? You're talking about knowledge, knowing where your money is going.
Right.
Right? So if we have proof of that, that's one way of, you know, helping you donate, because that's not just donating to a cause, but you know where your money is going. So
it's
you
going to work. Perfect.
Right, there's trust in there.
Sure.
How do we work towards against corruption?
Good question.
Well,
I think part of it is not being a government entity, because then the government can tell you what to do and how to do it. They have control of you. So it can't be under one of the government organizations that give you tax write-offs.
I had a 501c3, and the government never told me anything. I pretty much feel like
didn't you have certain reports you had to file?
Huh?
Didn't you have certain reports you had to file?
Did I have to file?
Yes, you did.
Your 501c3, you have
to file. No, I had to file.
Well, maybe you should have.
Well, that was years ago.
Were you
I never had that much money coming in, but at the time, but I still have a 501c3. In fact, I still have it. I still have the number. So we can...
You could sell that for a lot of money. An old 501c3 is worth a lot of money.
Really?
Yes, it
is.
So what I'm hearing is that if it's a governmental entity, the temptation is too strong to do things to grow the organization, so it completely forgets the cause, the true cause of why that thing is in place.
Mm-hmm. So a long time ago, I did work in schools of kind of optimal health creation, motivational, whatnot, and we didn't have an organization, we just did it. And I had several people say, well, why don't you set up a nonprofit organization, you know, because then you can go after funds and it'd be a lot easier. And my response was, everyone that I know, what happens is, once you have that form, the mission goes to keeping it alive and growing it, not doing the work. And so, this way, people say, well, what, are you a corporation? No. Are you this? No. Are you that? No. We're just doing it. Really? You can do that? And then one other, I agree.
And tell them how many people you presented to.
Probably over a million.
That thing?
Yeah, over the course of 12 years. Yeah, it was really effective. A lot of really positive feedback. I still meet people 30 years later that say, oh yeah, I remember that.
And how many people were in this organization?
Four
people. Wow. See, that's pretty effective.
Yeah, it was very effective. I disagree with Susan a little bit. She jumps on my case for giving money to Sierra Club.
Big time.
Citizens.
It's one of our major disagreements.
I got to do something. But I did, and I don't know if this is right in line, but the question I have a lot of times is, how do you prevent good things from getting hijacked? DK talks a lot about the importance of the United Nations, and it's, my God, that's been hijacked. And I think the church, to a large degree, has been hijacked.
Lucas Trust has been hijacked, in my opinion.
Well, that's what happens with every good organization that starts up after a generation. It starts to get hijacked. It's kind of a natural evolution downward from an inspired idea. And it gets some traction at first, and then...
Well, it attracts the force of materialism.
Yeah.
That's why...
Here's a great package. We can use this package.
That's why a constitution based on principles is necessary to keep it going in the right direction. Lucy, so I applaud you for... This is a great idea to have a roundtable discussion. Is the purpose of this to... as we go forward to formulate what we're going to do to set ourselves apart from the rest of the world?
Really, it was to stir your mind a little bit on this subject, because this is something...
It's really important.
That's important.
It's really important.
Because I find there's new teachings going on here, and which I resonate with. And to have something... be spread out into the world, it's going to require some structure. And so it's been kind of stirring in my mind when he mentioned it again on another meeting, and that's why I said, I think it would be worthwhile to talk about this. So it's not a taboo subject. A lot of times people say, money, money, I don't want to talk about money, but I think it's still important. And you know, money, like anything else, is like a neutral force. It could be used towards good or evil. And I think there's been a lot of corruption in the past. Michael says, don't throw the baby out with the bath. I do believe there's good people doing good deeds and good things within these organizations, but obviously not the majority. So, and my thing was, how can we make this different and better so we don't fall into these traps? And I like your idea also of constitution based on principles. So whatever law or regulation you come out with afterwards has to support that main idea, which is your principle that you'll lay out, you know. And now a lot of companies have these ethics committees that they want to do this like check and balance, like, okay, are you doing this correct? Did you do this? And then it's an oversight to make sure that the trust remains within, you know, society, that yes, we're doing good deeds, and here we have this organization that's checking them as well. So there's different ways that you can structure this, but I think you don't want to make it too heavy and hard to understand and hard to read. So I think I like the concept of having principles.
I have the first principle put in the Constitution.
What is it?
JJ's herd principle. Whatever the majority of the rest of the world is doing, we do the opposite.
Manual.
I didn't hear that.
Okay, so I have
a good idea. I said that the first principle we should put in this is the herd principle. Whatever the rest of the world's doing, we do the opposite.
Well, in some ways that's wise.
It's a joke.
It's not a joke.
No.
Well, actually, I think it's worded, look in the opposite direction, there you'll find much truth.
Yeah. I think developing
something
intuition
like
and wisdom, and coming from a state of knowing, I know what must be done and what must not be done, and we come together with that intention.
Are you looking at a molecular business structure?
Well, this is it. I want to hear everybody. See, you're thinking of a molecular business question. So I'm jotting down everything people are saying here, and I'm taking note because I will be thinking about this again, and I'm just trying to ponder on.
She's anticipating.
I'm anticipating because I do see it in the future.
She's anticipating a big bang, where there may be a big expansion of this organization. And when that takes place, there has to be thought put into the money process. And we can't do what the rest of the world, we can't do what all the other religions are doing. We can't do what the other organizations out there do. We have to do, we have to be honest and trustworthy. And none of them are being honest and trustworthy.
Well, when you have an expansion, you need a committee that will determine how and where money should be.
Yeah, they all have committees. They all have ethic committees.
Yeah, you need a committee.
And none of that's
working. You need a financial committee that can bring in the money and then disseminate it and let everyone know where the money goes, so it's totally open.
We have two big committees in America, Congress and senators. Not working out well for us.
Sorry, Emmanuel has his hand up.
I've been very patient, so I just want to congratulate myself on my patience. So this may sound kind of out there, but it's just like, I really care. One of the things that I think is really, really important that everyone should read, that I think would be very, very powerful about the maintenance, or the discernment between power versus force, okay? By Dr. David Hawkins.
The first,
I think, 15 pages, if I could black the outer system, the whole universe, just read the first 15 pages, I think we can maintain an organization to its highest capability. And what it means is that a lot of people kind of doubt muscle testing, you know, which I've been doing for 10 years now, you know. But on top of that, like, even to go even more specific, like the dowsing community, you know, there's a lot of people who consider it very woo-woo and things like that, like using a pendulum and things like that. But what's interesting is that Dr. David Hawkins has done blindfold studies on how he created the map of consciousness. And he basically said that how much would the world be different if we can muscle test to see if this politician would do what he's going to do. And really, there's a way to actually have a real lie detector test on anyone that comes into the organization. But then if we're talking about committees, what I would suggest would be to have, like, let's say, and I would probably want to use a dowsing to find out the number of it, but maybe, like, for example, let's say I douse for the benefit of community, for the benefit of our community, and the benefit of mankind, how many people should be dowsing blindfold study on the character of someone leading an organization? So you have six people, let's just say, right? And they're all dowsing about a certain person, let's say this wonderful lady right here, if she should be the lead on someone who's, you know, going to assist with this organization. And you have six people that douse the same thing, that yes, this is the person who needs to do it. So it's for the benefit of the whole, because it's depending on what you say, for the benefit of mankind, the benefit of giving Christ's head a place to rest, who would benefit this organization the most? And you would get six answers to yes, if it's the right person. So I suggest that anyone wants to read the first 10 pages of Power versus Force. It talks about literally testing religious leaders, testing politicians, that they would not pass the test if they were to be doused and if they were good character to pursue the organization. But if we started here and we didn't make a mockery or crucify pendulum swinging or whatever, we said, hey, like, the earth has, we can connect to one consciousness, because if we're all about one consciousness, you can't throw away the pendulum. Like, the pendulum needs to be brought forth and say, because it's non-biased opinion here, you see? And so, and it knows, it knows more about what the world needs and what we believe the organization needs.
Wouldn't soul contact do that as well? And be able to figure out who needs to be?
Well, soul contact can give you a good judgment on any subject. Because
pendulum is not in itself.
The inner spirit has details on just about everything.
The thing, the way the soul works for it.
It's positive.
So, I was recently asked to be on a board of a PMA, which is a private member association. This particular one is statutory. It's not a 501c3, but it's still based on statutes, which I'm not fond of either, but it's a step better than the 501c3. They asked me to be the treasurer. And the thing that I like about this organization is they have a contract with principles in it, that you agree to follow these principles in order to be a member of this organization, and you can be kicked out if you are found not to be in alignment with these principles.
What does your organization do?
It's called the People Restored, and what it's doing is bringing people together in an organization that protects their constitutional rights in case we have another situation like COVID, where they try to shut down businesses, stop commerce, stop assembly.
Sounds like an organization you'd like.
yeah. And one of my best friend's sons started it. And so I know he comes from good stock. And my main job is to make sure that the money is going in alignment with the stated purposes of the organization, of the contract. And that's what I'm going to be doing. And when I was an accountant for businesses, I always warned them, do not do anything illegal or ask me to do anything illegal, because I will turn you in. I don't mess around with money. And one of them didn't believe me and had to pay a $40,000 fine and shut his business down. It's like, don't mess with me. Because money ends up telling others where your heart is. Because how you use your money is where your heart really is.
It's an extension of yourself.
It is. It's like, what do you call that?
Prana.
Prana or energy.
Force.
Yeah, energy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So in any organization, if you were to have, say, a contract, there are private contracts that are not based on statutory law that I think are the highest level of organizational structure. And it's also called a private member association. It's just not based on contract law. And those you can back up with the Constitution, not only of the federal government, more importantly, the 50 state constitutions back it up even stronger than the federal constitution. So I think any organization would be wise to set up underneath something like that.
Good thought. Emmanuel, I don't know if you want to finish off your follow-up question.
I totally forgot what I was saying, but it's okay. I'll come back.
So, well, thank you very much. I don't know if anybody, Tyler, you're very quiet. Mute, what's going on? Usually you have a lot.
I'm always very quiet.
He's always thinking though.
Yeah.
Emmanuel put a frequency on him to shut him up. By my request.
Okay, I'll make a comment.
Well, money is just energy flow. That's all what money is. So if you are in touch with your soul, like you've been talking about, then you'll be directed. You'll see a place to put money that will benefit maybe an individual, maybe a group, maybe humanity. You kind of have to let your soul be your guide as to how your energy with money flows.
Good comment.
It's interesting because there's kind of I'm going to talk about like the seasteading and kind of these
right.
types of ideas that are not explicitly spiritual ideas, and there's actually a lot of money lining up toward kind of starting a new civilization, you know, in the sea, or there's organizations trying to buy some land and use some land in Honduras, I believe it was, and there's a lot of issues with that. So it's interesting to see that some of these things just kind of manifest without an explicitly spiritual component behind them. Although that type of thing may be necessary for the return of the Christ. So there seems to be a couple of different types of things. There's the kind of what Ed was saying. How do we know there's a spiritual kind of component to this, and then there's a non-explicitly spiritual component, and that's just an interesting thing to think about. Is, you know, how do we? I don't know. Besides, you know, tithing, which we've already talked about, that's not something that's making a lot of good right now. What organization would we donate to right now to further the work of the Christ?
I used to be part of Seasteading Institute until I learned how much influence Peter Thiel had over it. Peter Thiel is the guy who runs Palantir.
Right.
Palantir is the spy software for every government organization that exists. And Peter Thiel is pushing Seasteading? No, thank you.
So we need to organize so that we can, if we... We don't even have a place to donate to. We don't have a structure of any kind.
How would people know? How would people know that is? I mean, I know we've talked about that, but that you need something that attracts attention. How are you going to attract attention besides we're gonna be transparent with our funds? Like, okay, that's fine, but what is the purpose?
I have an idea, but I don't know if it's for everybody. So it's a business idea, kind of. So both in missionary work and in donations, if we had a structure where we could accept donations of some kind from people, then it was kind of Scott's idea, actually. Marianne Williams did the Course in Miracles. She didn't write it. She only taught it. That's all she did, was teach it. She taught the Course in Miracles. And she started out teaching it at a library, which was free, and she had moved to Holiday Inn, which was bigger, and she accepted donations. At first it was like $3 donation, but it's only a donation. But it could be called, and she wasn't a structure of any kind, it was just her. So the people weren't getting a tax break, and it was only $3. But they could pay more if they wanted to. So if we were teaching JJ's stuff, if we were holding classes that taught the principles of JJ's, if we taught how to have soul contact and basically be missionaries and spread the word, then we would both be finding people, raising consciousness, doing missionary work, and having a way to accept donations. People then who felt inspired to could, if we have a place for them to, donate more. I want to further this work. I want more teaching. I want more Christ consciousness. I want more. So I'm going to donate $10,000.
Right now, if anyone donates, we just count it as ordinary income. So it, we,
you what?
We just count it as ordinary income if anyone makes a donation.
So you get taxed on it?
Yeah.
That's my point.
So since we're not making much money right now, it doesn't really affect us that much.
Yeah. That's why you would need something like a private member association structure where the money is going there, not to you.
Yeah.
Well, if we help put that together, that sounds like a great idea, Susan.
Well, we're working on
it. You thought about that.
You have to do a presentation in a little more detail. It's really cool stuff.
Well, Curtis wants to get a bus and go around the country like Elmer Gantry. We could donate to him.
Well, I think that's a great idea.
Well, thank you all for your precious listening and input. No,
is that all?
I just wanted to just throw it out there so everybody can. I love your ideas, Susan, Rain, and Manuel, and Scott. Everybody puts in something really special, and I knew everybody has a different background, and everyone has something they can bring on the table. Ideas that will speak most probably to the majority, because I bet I know many people who think like you do, and then some like you do, and you see what you just said you were for, and you for that organization that you put up, you were able to reach a million, and then that's what Rain said. Marian Wilson started off just one person, so okay, we see that if there's we put out the government and you just do it by yourself, there's no intermediary, you have much more efficiency. So those are all thoughts that are running in my head as I'm listening to everyone speak, and I think the day will come where this will have to step up. We're going to have to take that next decision. And I kind of look at the Joseph Smith situation. He was just a standard person born at his time, and then he put out new teachings, and it drew such a. And it was in the 1800s, wasn't that long ago? And then look where they're at now. So whatever's happening, it's just my other self, higher self saying, well, kind of get ready for this, but fix it so you don't do the same mistake.
Yeah, we have to make sure it doesn't be corrupted.
It's corruption, because men's hearts are so easily corrupted.